Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and at this point, it is my pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hi, Terry. Beautiful evening out there. Boy, it's kind of hard getting in here. They're getting ready for the Popcorn Festival here in Marion, so they're going to be shutting streets down soon. Hey, you know what? We are in a brand new studio tonight, and this is great.
Pastor, you're actually christening this new studio.
Christening the new studio, yes. How about that?
So we're blessed to have your presence here tonight.
So. Thank you very much. Yeah. We are in the Ohio Health Building at the corner of...
Is it Prospect and Center?
Yes, Prospect and Center.
It's the heart clinic downstairs.
Yeah, and we are in the upstairs of it. Great to be here, though. Nice place. And beautiful day it's been. A lot on my mind today. Been a lot on my mind a lot lately. There's just so much going on. And there's the church was great Sunday. We had a lot of visitors there. And we had a young man, Chris Keeney. I call him a young man. He probably doesn't feel like a young man, but everyone's young to me these days. But anyway, he and his wife, Valley, are going to be going into ministry in Peru as missionaries, and they're raising support, and they stopped in to see us Sunday, and it was really a good time. He got to talk a few minutes, and you know, it's great to see people starting out ministry that way with an excitement about going out and reaching other people and caring for other people. That's pretty neat. I think that's pretty neat. Anyway, I am Pastor Steve Whitaker. I'm the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street. Our phone number there is 740-494-2222. You can reach us on the web at prospectccf.com. Love to have you guys come and visit. We're kind of, you know, when I look at the map, we're kind of like 9 miles from Delaware, 9 miles from Marion, 5 miles from Waldo and 5 miles from Richwood, right there in the kind of in the middle. So you can see that area around there that you know, if people would ever want to visit, Green Camp's just up the road. But we're a Bible believing and Bible teaching church, and as I always say, prayerfully Bible obedient church. We are Christians. That means we have accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we're part of the body of Christ. And we are a real mix of people there. We have just about every age group you could imagine. And I was trying to think the other day if I found average age in the church, I don't know where that would be. I'm going to say average age of maybe 30, something like that. So it's a really good mix of people, a lot of really good people. And do a lot of service and work in the community with school kids and with a lot of helps ministry and outreaches with a backpack program, which will be kicking off again, getting ready to kick off. And that ministry is a ministry that we provide something to eat on the weekend for kids that go home that may need it. And last year we did it was around 260 a week, and I believe this year it's going to be a little more from what I see coming in application-wise. So that's a really busy ministry. My wife Shirley does the majority of that. That's kind of her baby. She's taking it on, and there's so many aspects to it between finding food at a reasonable cost, putting it together, worrying about allergies, people, those kind of things. She really feels that if she just handles it, she has a handle on it, if that makes any sense. And, you know, keep everyone safe, happy, and their belly full. But, you know, a lot of neat ministries we're doing. Team Kid will be kicking off here in a few weeks. Team Kid is, we do that every other Tuesday. And that's at 6:30 in the evening, and that is for kids from kindergarten all the way up through sixth grade. And it's a Bible study time Tuesday evenings at, like I said, at 6:30. They're done at 8:30, or excuse me, 8 o'clock. So, you know, it gives mom and dad a chance to get out and do some things, maybe leave the kids there for a while. And they have activities and snacks and recreation and a good solid Bible story. So that's a great time for the kids, too. Youth group's been going great lately. We have a, when I was in high school, our church did something called a DU, and not to be confused with a DUI. But our church did a DU, and that stood for Destination Unknown. And what they would do on Sunday night, once or twice a month, we would go to someone's house and not know where we were going. And after church on Sunday evening is usually when that would take place, and we would leave and just go there. And the people would have, maybe a campfire going with hot dogs and s'mores, and we'd have a Bible story and just whatever went on. Maybe we'd be playing basketball somewhere. But we started incorporating that kind of thing just a couple weeks ago, and it has been fantastic. The first night they went to the Baxter Family Pond, and they've got like diving boards and a little beach area, and the kids just had a great time. And then last week, they went to, you met little Julia. Mm-hmm. Well, Holly and Corey are her parents. They went there, and they built boats out of cardboard and duct tape and plastic. And the goal was to see who could get across the pond with a boat stove. They have a pond there, too. Must be a lot of ponds in our church, huh? I think there's a lot of outdoors people in our church that love ponds. That's one thing nice about being rural. You can have that stuff. So anyway, the kids are doing different things and having a great time. It's been a really crazy week this last week.
I wanted to just ask you real quick. I know it's been some time ago, but how'd your vacation Bible school go? Good? Or?
Vacation Bible school went great. You know, we had a lot of, we do that as a community, and we alternate churches.
Did you
churches.
Guys merge as churches?
We do it every year that way. We merged as churches this year. It was at St. Paul's. And, of course, what we do, though, is workers from all the churches go. So even though it was at St. Paul's, I think I counted we had 8 people from our church teaching and working there in the Bible school, so and helping with those things. So it's kind of a joint effort that way. And what we kind of do is our ministerial association in town will we raise money throughout the year for different things. Mostly it's just love offerings. And we kick in money if it's needed for Bible school. But the typical plan is each church in town kicks in $300 each year at Bible school to cover material. And, you know, we've gotten to the point that some of us are relatively good at doing things without spending a lot. That's a blessing. Because when that money's left over, it's there for people that will fall into hard times or fall into a need or that kind of thing. And we do take care of people in the community when they do fall into hard times. And you wish you could do more sometimes and go larger, but, you know, there's just so far money will go. And, of course, we'll be starting in the next month or so. We'll be starting with the collecting stuff for our Christmas blessing. And we usually 20-some families we usually serve and 60-some kids.
Usually what, the dollar stores usually, or Dollar Tree's usually a pretty good partner on that.
Dollar General's been a
good
partner on
that. Yeah.
And so has, we have boxes in United Bank and Prospect Pharmacy. And where off we put them? Yeah, they're dotted around I think I said Prospect Pharmacy.
Yeah.
The bank.
Holy.
United Bank. Actually, the credit union over on, what's it called? United Credit Union? United Federal Credit Union? Campbell Road. They've been a great partner with us. The Battle Run Fire Department's been a great partner. The American Legion has helped us from time to time. Different people in town. Some people that I'm not allowed to mention because they asked me not to, and that's just great. But they help every year, and we provide Christmas for a lot of kids. People come and actually shop, and they have people that help them shop. And then at the end, they have their presents wrapped, and they take them home that way. And we try to gear it towards people that are working but are really struggling to make ends meet. And you know how it is. I mean, I think we've all been there at some point where what's coming in every month is barely covering the bills. And if you stop to take a major expense like buying Christmas, something is not getting paid. And we try to reach out to those people. You know, one thing I've found that today, you know, people always say that everyone is so self-centered today. And you know, there's a lot of that goes on and a lot of the me stuff. But I'll tell you, there are so many outlets, Christmas outlets, Secret Santa type thing, Angel Tree, you know, that helps with the kids that their parents are incarcerated, and Franklin Graham has the shoebox ministry, and you know, there's just so many different ministries out there that reach out. The fire department, you know. Matter of fact, we've even gone in and helped the fire department before when theirs was done and someone else came in, and we gather stuff together. So it's good cooperation. But you know, there are a lot of people, and there's good outlets for people. Churches adopting families. You know, on top of the gifts, we do probably about 20 Christmas meals we put together. Last year, I know Covey Rice Farms donated, I think we had 30 turkeys come in for those meals. And, you know, just there's just so many different places doing these things, and it's a huge blessing. And then our church puts a lot into it. But it's, you know, we decorate our entire church. Now, I don't know, some people out there might think, boy, at church, I don't know if we ought to be doing that. But no, we do. We have quite an assortment of Christmas trees and decorations and things that go up. You know, a lot of these kids that will come into the church that time of year, they don't see that stuff at home. They don't have decorations. You would be surprised how many people on a couple days before Christmas go out and hit Christmas tree lots to find them cheap or for nothing because they haven't put a tree up yet. And, you know, our message, of course, in the church is the birth of Jesus Christ and the fact that he came to be a savior for all of us, for the world. And that's our primary message. But we want people to enjoy everything around them and to enjoy themselves and have a wonderful time. One thing that we do prior to the people shopping, I'll tell you, I'll just run through how it's set up real quick, because it's really pretty neat. What we do is we gather all these things throughout a period of time leading up, and we have things from last year that we stored away that maybe all of it what didn't go out. And we bring things in, and then for about 2 to 3 weeks, there's a group of volunteers that'll come in, and they'll start putting the church together. Setting tables up, and then the last week leading up to the Saturday morning that we do it, they decorate everything, they line up the tables all throughout the building, and then they have like boys, girls, toddlers, you know, the different age groups, and everything's set out for them in a really neat order. And they come in on that morning, Saturday morning, which whatever we designate, it's usually a couple weeks before Christmas. And they come in, and the first thing they do is they have to register. And when they register, they meet them at the door and tell them how many kids they have, their ages, and that. And we always ask the question, have you been adopted by anyone else? Because if you were adopted from someone else, we'll usually let you in, but you have to wait till the other people have gone through that have had no one adopt them. But anyway, once that's done, they come in and sit in the sanctuary, and they're welcome to have coffee or hot chocolate and things of that nature. And then they get a Christmas message, because that's what's important. And we have music and sing some Christmas hymns, and I give a message, and it's not a long message. We're not trying to, you know, keep them all day. But then from that point, volunteers are assigned to walk through with them with their list and help them shop. And when they're done, they wrap them, and that's kind of it. And we usually have some clothing at that time too, some hats, mittens, gloves, and things of that nature. Actually, the fire department's always been real good for donating towards us buying the hats and the gloves, which is a huge help. But so, and then at the same time, when they register, they write down if they're going to need a Christmas meal. So those just some of the things that we do, and we do it because we want to care about people and love people in the community. And that's just a fraction of the outreaches that we do. And God's blessed us very much with taking care of the needs that we have in order to do that, and for us so that we don't have to constantly worry about it. And Modern Woodman's been a great partner with us too. There's just been a lot of different people out there. With our food ministry, I know that there's been Modern Woodman, there's been the electric co-op has been another one. there's been I don't want to say Farmers Exchange, Central Ohio Farmers Co-op. So there's just been so many different places that want to help, and they do help. And, you know, it's a real blessing that they do that. But anyway, that's not what I was going to talk about tonight. But while I did, right? Hey, something that's been on my mind, and it's something I talked about Sunday, is that, you know, I hear a lot of complaining about things that we don't do. And how, you know, nobody even knows who Jesus is anymore. And nobody knows, and on this goes. And it's true. I mean, really, we're very limited as to what, you know, young people know about. You know, everyone wants to blame the schools. Well, you took prayer out of the schools, so therefore kids don't hear about Jesus in school anymore. Well, I got news for them. Even before, when we still had prayer in the schools, rarely did kids still hear about Jesus in school. I was in a rare exception in a school that I went to when I was a very young man, in fifth and sixth grade, a country school. We actually had old Reverend McNeely come in every Friday and go from classroom to classroom, and he'd give a Bible story and a salvation altar call at the end of it. He did every week, and that was a rarity. But, you know, that was a very common thing in years past for generations. But I would say that what I'm getting at is we can't complain about the fact that the school doesn't allow things there that we used to see more commonly when we're not doing it ourselves. What are we teaching? Are we taking our kids to church? Are we reading the Bible at home? Are we teaching those things? You know how easy it is to find stuff? Well, where do I find this stuff, Pastor? Let me tell you something. You guys that have ever walked in an Ollie's, you walk in this Ollie's in Marion, you hit about the second row in, and it's the book section, and there's kids, and then there's old, but there's a whole section on faith, and you can find anything and everything you can ever imagine to help teach your children about the Word of God in there. There's picture books, there's coloring books, there's Bibles, there's commentaries, there's self-help books, and all those different things that are in there. So there's one outlet. The main outlet I want people to see is bring your kids to church. They need to be in church. They need to know there's somewhere that they go where there's a body of people that dearly care about them and love them. And that's they're going to find that in church. And if you're in a church you're not finding that, I would encourage you not to be that church very long. Because we're there for each other. We're not there to try to look good. And, you know, that's just... we're there to show people the love of Christ, and I certainly hope that's what we're doing. Now, not one churches aren't going to fit for everyone. I mean, some people just aren't comfortable in a particular environment. There's some people, I've talked to people that I know that, you know, man, you've got to wear a suit and tie on Sunday. You just have to, and they can't go anywhere that they don't feel right if they don't. Well, I'm not going to tackle that subject, but what I would say this is that our church, that probably isn't going to be someplace you're real comfortable, because I may have someone sitting there in a suit and tie, but there may also be someone sitting there that just came from work for milking the cows that morning, and or a factory or whatever, and that's not the issue. The issue is that you're there, and that you're coming together, and you're caring about each other, and you're learning the Word of God, and you're praising God, and you're teaching and you're building up new disciples and them making disciples also. So that's why we're there, and it's why we should be there. But I was thinking about, you know, what people don't know today and don't hear. Why is it that people don't talk more about their faith? Think about that a minute. They don't too much, do they? Why do you think that is, Terry?
The only thing I could think of is, in today's society, are they afraid to mention it because of maybe the backlash that they'll get? They shouldn't be, but I mean, is that?
I think that's part of it. I think that's a false narrative too. I think that there's more fear and threat of backlash than is actually going to be there. And if there is backlash, I think that. That, you know, there are legal ways that we can stand up to that. The American Center for Law and Justice would be one of them. There's others. But, yeah, I mean, we're allowed to do so much more that many times people think that they can. You know, there's nothing wrong with you don't have to hide who you are, right? A lot of people say, well, there's that Christian, he's trying to beat this down my throat again. And you don't do that either. I mean, you share the love of Christ, you share the story of Christ and of God and creation and who he did and who he is and what he did and why he's there and how all that relates to us. And then you leave it up to God and that person. You know, I'm not going to drag anyone. I'm not going to lasso anyone and pull them into heaven with me. You know, that's just not the way that works. But what about sharing our faith, sharing what something marvelous, just wonderful happens to me, okay? And I know that God had a great hand in it. Am I going to share with people, God had a great hand in this and this? Of course I better and I should. And I had a pastor one time, and I think that anyone that watched this broadcast that knows that will know the pastor I'm talking about. It's when I was growing up. And he had something that he said that he was very adamant about. It drove him crazy that people would put things on their bumper sticker about God. On a bumper sticker. He said, how in the world do you lower a holy God to the bumper of your car? Well, I love the guy. He's a great teacher, and I admire him and still listen to tapes of his today that are 40 and 50 years old. But I think in that particular area, he kind of missed the mark a little bit. Because the point is, it's being visual, being verbal, people hearing. You know, the Bible tells us all through it that we're to care and share and walk and talk and preach and teach and share with our children. And, you know, in the case of the Ethiopian eunuch with Philip, you know, what must I do to be saved? And you know, the thing that he said, how am I supposed to know if I don't hear? How do I know? The point is they need to know, they need to hear, and at least something to spur a question. Give you an example of that. I used this on Sunday. People probably thought I was nuts. In the front of the bulletin, I had, Shirley asked me, she said, what's sermon topic Sunday? And I said, eat more chicken. In quotation marks, eat more, and then chicken was like they have it on Chick-fil-A, you know, on that, you know, that thing. And then my point was this, I wasn't advertising for them, and I'm not now, and I'm not advertising for anyone, but the point is that not a catchphrase? Do people not know who they're talking about when they hear that? You know, when you're driving down south and you see all the cows on the billboards with the signs, you know, it takes you back to that thought. Yeah, maybe I would like to have that today. Another huge one is when the Pork Council decided that they were going to promote bacon about 10 years ago, or may not even been 10 years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. But, you know, everybody ate bacon all the time. I mean, to an extent. But all of a sudden, people can't live without bacon. I mean, you've got fondue pots drizzling chocolate all over bacon, and you've got kids wearing bacon pajamas and look like bacon strips, and on and on and on. You know, dogs eating bacon strips, and, you know, all this stuff over. Well, why is that? Is it because suddenly bacon tastes better than it ever did? No, it certainly isn't. It's because the mind, you're right, exactly right. It was on the brain because people were talking about it. It became the cool thing to eat. And, So many of these things do that. You know, it's all advertising. It's what people think is going to be cool, and they go after it. Or it's name recognition to see it. Well, if I never talk about my God, I'm not saying that we should advertise God like a cheap suit. I'm not going that route. What I'm saying is that if we talked more about God and what he does for us and the blessings in our life and the testimony that we have, people would hear it and they would think of it more. You know, how many people, you know, it's interesting. When people ask the number one reason that they don't go to church, what do you think it is?
I'm going to probably guess and say they don't have time.
No, actually it's not.
Or the Browns are on. No.
That too. No, we always get on that, don't we? Anyway, no, it's they haven't been asked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have not been asked.
I would have never guessed that. Yeah.
I mean, we walk by people every day, never invite them to church, and never ask them to come. And then people only think, well, those Christians, you know, they're stuck-up people, you know. They don't even, their church is so great, why don't they invite me, right? You know,
I have heard that, come to think of it, yeah.
Yeah, why aren't they inviting you to church? Well, because who knows why? You know, good question.
They think they're too good to, you know.
Yeah. And that may not be the truth at all.
Going back to the advertising now, I just thought about something now that's on the brain. Is this Popeye's chicken sandwich now? I mean, you know, you're talking about chicken sandwiches or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, how long? They've probably had one, I'm sure, but did we know about it until here?
Now you do, don't you? Huh? Yeah, exactly.
And now everyone's rushing there, you know, to...
Right.
I just thought about that when you said that.
But it is. It's something that, you know, we don't talk about God enough. We don't talk about our faith enough. We don't talk about, you know, oh, I'm afraid people are going to think that I'm one of those religious zealots. Well, I've got news for you. We're supposed to be zealots. We're not supposed to be... We have to understand the importance of what we believe, if indeed we truly believe it.
Or they're afraid, oh, he's going to look at me, and if I don't know what he's talking about, you know, or something. Or,
yeah.
You know, it, almost like in school, don't call on me because I don't, you know.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that's interesting, too, because here's what's really weird. In today's culture, today's day and age, everybody that desires to have a Bible has one. Most of the time they get a buildup of dust on them on a shelf somewhere in many homes. I think it's sad. I've mentioned this before on the show that, you know, people will give me Bibles when people, pass away, and they'll say, hey, I've got these Bibles that were so-and-so's. Do you want them? And after I ask them, well, don't you have a use for them? They'll bring them in because, you know, if someone's got, you know, I want to encourage people to read Bibles, you know, if they don't have one, well, if it belongs, keep it and read it, you know? But it's amazing how many times I'll open a gift Bible and it has never been, the pages crack when you open it practically. And the thing is, we have all this right in front of us to understand it. And just like you said, to go out and talk to people, what if they ask me a question I don't know? Well, guess what? Get familiar with the Word of God and you'll know the answer. And God promises us that. Matter of fact, we can't really learn a lot about God without it today, because he has given us that, and that's how the Holy Spirit works through us, is to bring things to mind that we have read and understood as we read the Word of God. I think the Word of God is an extremely alive book. It's a very current book. It doesn't change. It's timeless.
I was going to say the main thing. That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. It never goes out of style.
It doesn't.
It's always there.
It is always there. I was reading some stuff in Timothy the other day, you know, about what's going on in the culture, and it's just like, did they write this yesterday? You know, it's that kind of a thing. And because the thing is, basically, people don't change as far as what's inside of them and the things that tempt them, the things that they love, the things they like, the struggles they have. They're all basic struggles. And that doesn't really change. And our reaction to them and how we live, really, if we followed Scripture, it's as relevant today as it ever was. Because if you follow Scripture and what it says to do and how we're to act, how we're to treat people, how we're to love God, put him first, how husbands are supposed to treat wives treat husbands, how we're supposed to treat and raise our children, how we're to deal with the public, with different people, when it comes to everything from kindness to money to everything. If you follow that model, most of these things, I dare say all these things that we're dealing with in society would be greatly minimalized. Because you have a minimal chance of the things happening when you're doing what God says to do. And I think that's one of the things that really is amazing about the Bible. It wasn't written for a specific group of people in a specific time where it left everything irrelevant once you got out of that time. Because it's totally relevant right up to today. There were things that went on in the Old Testament. You know, in the Bible, you have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And, of course, the Old Testament was written primarily to the Jews, and it was a book of instruction, and it prepared the way for Christ to come. But it had a lot of rules. It had a lot of basically an instruction manual on how they were to do life, period. And a lot of history, a lot of poetry. But the thing is that just because we came to now the New Testament after Christ died, and he basically said, look, you guys couldn't keep that law anyway. You couldn't keep it. So I'm going to shed my own blood, my own life, to cover that sin, because there's no way you can do it. Has anyone ever kept the Ten Commandments? Yeah, just Jesus, right? I mean, that you can't. It's impossible. None of those laws that were put in Levitical law, that we read through Deuteronomy and through the Old Testament, the reason they had to go and had all these sacrifices listed they had to do before the priest and all those things, because they couldn't keep it. Well, when Christ came, he was that final sacrifice once and for all. And it allows us to rest all of that in him. But here's the thing. A lot of people say, well, we're not under the law anymore. We're not under the law, but we are certainly, the principles of the law haven't changed. You know, the basic, what the law said hasn't, you know, Jesus said that, that he came to establish the law. Basically, he came to perfect the law. He came to, many times people say, well, the things in the Bible that were sins in the Old Testament aren't sins today. Look, sin is sin is sin. And there were things that were to protect a certain group of people at a certain time, and some of those things aren't so much anymore. You know what I think is really cool, Terry, is when you read the Old Testament and some of the stuff in there that, you know, they were told not to eat. And it makes no sense that they were told not to eat that. But then when future generations came along, and more generations, and learning, and medicine, and science, and all of a sudden we start realizing why those things shouldn't have been eaten. They didn't know that back then, but God did. I think it's the coolest thing in the world. You know, shellfish was a huge one. You know, in the Old Testament, you do not eat shellfish. Well, look at the allergies that the people have, the allergic reactions they have to shellfish. They weren't supposed to eat pork. Well, back then, they didn't always have the best way to keep and to treat and to cook food either. And what do you get from pork? Trichinosis. And yet it just goes on and on as you study that the Jewish food laws and look at them and understand why things were. You're like, wow, man, they knew some stuff that they probably ought not have known at that point, but they did because God knew it. So, you know, it's really a neat study. I think you're right, though, that people do. They're afraid to open their mouth for fear that they'll say something and people will come back and they won't have anything. Look, here's the thing. If you're willing to share God with people, and if those people, God's not going to put you in a position that makes you foolish. You understand what I mean? And just because people, I just think it's one of these other tools that is used to keep people from saying anything, is that fear of what's going to be, when it's not really going to happen. You know, give me an example of that. When I was in something I do, and I'll be honest with you, I've been slacking a little bit lately. I got to get off that. But when I go into a restaurant and I order my meal, I always ask the waitress, is there anything that you'd like me to pray about? We're getting ready to pray and thank God for a meal. Do you have anything that you'd like us to pray about? Been doing that for a long time. Dr. David Wheeler, an old teacher of mine, talked to us about doing that. And so it's been, 15, 20 years ago. And, you know, I just started doing that, and I do it. But lately, for some reason, I haven't been as much. I'm going to have to get back on that. But anyway, you know, you tell people to do that, and they're going to say, man, I don't know. People are going to get mad at me. They're going to tell me, you know, don't push religion down my throat. You know, just all these fears. I have had one person in all the years that I've done that has said to me, I don't really do the church thing. One person. They weren't nasty about it. They just said that. Most of the time, people will say, wow, yeah, I do. You know, it may be a college student that's a waitress. You know, I'm getting ready to have a test, or my dad's sick, or I don't have money to get back home, or on and on and on it goes. My boyfriend's going down a path I don't know what to do about. I've heard that one a lot. darn those boyfriends, right? But anyway, I'm going down a path he shouldn't. I had one lady that couldn't wait for me to come in the restaurant when I'd come in, and she'd watch for me, and when I get there, she'd show up with a whole list, prayer list she'd been writing, compiling for me. And so, yeah, I mean, but the general thought is, if I said, Terry, I want you to go to the, when you go to the restaurant tomorrow morning, if you're going to ask the waitress, hey, I'm going to have a word of prayer, so you'd be nervous and think, oh, no, what are they going to, I'm telling you, I've done it thousands of times. Well, maybe not a thousand. Yeah, probably. Probably close to 1,000 times, I'll bet. If you look at my weight on the scale, I've been to a lot of restaurants. But anyway, it just doesn't happen that way. I think that our fears aren't really founded when it comes to that stuff. Man, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you. I am having the hardest time bringing stuff to my mind tonight. I've had about 4 things in Scripture I was going to say that just wouldn't come. I got up very early this morning and was helping out on handicap bus with the kids, and I am, you ever get to that point, Terry, where you're just like, I'm zoned, man.
You were running on fumes, man.
Running on fumes, and my mind just won't bring stuff that's right there. You know, please don't ask me what John 3:16 says. I probably won't be able to quote it. But no, you get into, you know, it happens. And I'll tell you, the older I get, the more it happens. I read something the other day. Somebody said, boy, I had a really great day. I actually went in a room and remembered while I walked in there. You know, I think that happens. I find that the more that I do, the less that I'm capable of, and like I used to. One thing we did last week, man, we started taking the cleaning the floors down in the sanctuary in the kitchen. Not sanctuary, excuse me. The fellowship room in the kitchen. Now, we're talking about 100-year-old oak floors. That's an old church. And started cleaning them down and thought, you know, we'll just take everything off, clean them down really good, and put something on them, which they had just done next door in the, what is that, a KP Hall, I think? And it looked great. And we started taking it down, and it wasn't working. I mean, there were too many years of wax, layer wax, varnish wax, mop and glow, you know, whatever they'd put on these things. So Clint, you met Clint. Clint and I made a decision that we were going to run in and get a sander and sand those floors. So we ended up last week sanding the floors in the fellowship room in the kitchen. And we ended up with a 55-gallon trash barrel in sanding stuff off that floor. And then we varnished them. So it put me behind. But you know what? It looked great. But, man, it wore me out. And it's kind of how I feel. I haven't got over it yet. Mm-hmm. I'm still stumbling around. Hey, did you have a good Labor Day? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I did too. We, you know, the kids didn't come around for the first time. I mean, it's kind of, well, some of them were at the lake out of town, and other ones had places they went, and some worked. And Shirley just made a really good dinner for us, and we just spent the day together and, you know, did some things of that nature. Went to Pat Catan's, you know, they're closing out in Delaware, and she can't, you know, our granddaughter Lauren is getting married next year, and so Shirley has to see if there's things she needs everywhere she goes. So she was doing some of that too. But no, it's been a busy week. But I guess the thing I mainly wanted to talk about tonight is I want to encourage Christians to stand up and be counted. Do it in a loving way, do it in a kind way, but stand up and be counted. And if you don't agree with something, come out and say it. You know, if your kids, you know, there's nothing wrong with standing up for our God. And, you know, Jesus says, you know, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. You know, I would take that real seriously. We don't deny him before men. I find that the more publicly I talk about the Lord and talk about God, the less fear I have. And if something negative were to come about it, it wouldn't be negative anyway. It wouldn't be negative for me. You know, Paul talks all about suffering for Christ's sake. And if I have to suffer for Christ's sake, that would just be the way that's going to be. You can't fear that. If you really trust God, why would you fear that? But, you know, be someone that's out there that, you know, I'm sorry, Bill, but put the I love Jesus bumper sticker on, or you know, the John 3:16, or whatever the case that may be. But yeah, I, you know, t-shirts are great. you know, something provocative, not bad provocative, but somebody looks at something. I remember I gave a group of high school kids, we designed a shirt for them one year because they said, how do we start a conversation at our high school? And we made these black shirts and we put a white cross on the back. And in the middle of the white cross, it said, the difference you make is the stand that you take. And they wore them to school. And I had them all wear them the same day. And they didn't get in trouble for wearing them. And when I saw them that next Wednesday night, I asked them, did kids ask you about them? Oh, yeah. People said, what does that mean? What are you talking about? I said, it's simple things like that that make people ask. And then it opens a conversation for you. I mean, do we really care about people? If we care about people, we're going to care about their lives, right? And, you know, that's just one more way to do it, is to share. We've got to share who God is. We'll spend a lot of money sending people overseas to be missionaries. Man, we got a mission field right here, a huge one, and in the United States of America. And there's so many people that they don't ever hear the truth of Jesus Christ and who he is and why he came. And so many lives could be so much better and enriched if they had that truth and knew that. And they could live life without fear and with confidence and being the person God has made them to be. How exciting would that be? So anyway, you going to have a good week? Yeah. Looks like we're about off the air. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to invite you to come to Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street. Our address there is 209 East Water Street, but our time of service is 9:30 on Sunday morning. We start with Bible study time, and 10:30 we have a typical worship hour. And then we have Sunday evening at 6:30, youth group at 6:30. Midweek service at 6:30. We have Bible study at the church, and then at another location in Delaware that has a 7 o'clock Bible study. So, hey, I want to invite you guys out. Come enjoy yourselves. Don't forget our day in the park is the first Sunday in October. Make sure you come at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a blast, and it's all free at the Prospect Park. Hay rides, food, bounce houses, music, great time. God bless you guys. Have a good week.
Take care.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP.